You're listening to 1440 in Fort Worth, Texas. For more information, visit 1440.com.
Hey, guys. Can y'all hear me? Can y'all? Okay, just making sure. All right, so how many of you guys feel like y'all get messages like that from God, like every day? Yeah? A few? Okay, how many of you feel like you don't, you're just like, oh, I don't hear them, or I don't get those messages every day? Only a couple? So all of y'all get those messages and sticky notes? Really? No? Okay, just making sure, because I thought I was the only one. All right. Okay, well, if you aren't sure if he's speaking to you, or maybe you're like, well, I don't know for sure, or maybe he's not even talking to me, I'm going to make sure tonight after I'm finished that he, yes, indeed, he is speaking. So first off, everybody has two ears, right? Yeah? All right. Okay, so what is the purpose of your ears? To hear, right? So if I just stop talking, y'all won't get what I'm saying, right? But the only way for you guys to hear is for me to speak, right? Okay, so the same way with God. He gave us ears to hear so we could hear what he's saying. So you're probably thinking, well, so that doesn't mean anything. Well, it also says in Galatians 4:7, if we could turn there. Thank you. Just kidding, I almost have it. Okay, it says, we are his children. God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out Abba, Father. Now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you his heir. Okay, so what does that have to do with listening to God? Well, the way I see it is, if my mom were to come out right now, but she wasn't visible and she were to call my name, I'm pretty sure I would answer. I'd be like, yes, mom. And I'm pretty sure you guys would do that too, not with my mom, but with yours. But you would know your mom's voice, right? Because you're her child and she's your mom. You would recognize that, right? Well, in right here in Galatians 4:7, he just stated that you are his children. You are his princes and princesses because he called you his heirs. And if he called you his children, that means that he has a relationship with you, father, son, daughter, father. That means that you can hear him. So you're like, okay, that works. Well, first off, you're probably saying, but what if he doesn't speak to me? What if it just doesn't happen? God does speak. And in this entire Bible, he states that he speaks. I'm pretty sure there's like 2,000 pages in here that says God speaks. And in the first verse in Genesis 1:3, the first thing that he did was, let there be light. He didn't think it. He didn't just do it with his hands. He did it with his voice. He said, let there be light. So he spoke life. So that kind of just tells you God's speaking. Like, he's constantly speaking. That was the only way to start life. So I don't think he's going to stop after life is already done. The second one is writing on the wall. If we can go to Daniel 5:24-28. Yeah. Okay, well, I don't know where it's at. Okay, are y'all there? Or most of y'all are there? Okay, then we'll wait. Are y'all there now? Okay, well, I'll just tell you the story to recap. So that was a time where they were having, basically the king was having a big bash. And everybody was there having a good time. And God was trying to talk to them, but they weren't listening. So what God does is he sends a hand to go right on a wall, on the wall, and it's probably like this wall, and he just randomly starts writing on the wall, like, to get their attention. And he got their attention because in like verse 27 the king fainted or something like that. So I was just, okay, he got their attention. So I was thinking about it. I was like, okay, if I went to someone's house, or if you went to someone's house and you got like a red marker and you went to their house and started writing, I want a milkshake, on their wall or something, I'm pretty sure you're not going to get the milkshake, but you're going to get someone's attention. And so I was thinking about it, and then God's like, see, even if they don't hear me, or even if they don't hear what I'm trying to say, I will somehow get their attention, even if it means writing on the wall and not your Facebook wall, an actual wall or something. So the third one is the written word. Now, who knows what the written word is?
It's what God wrote. It's the Bible. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right. Give her a round of applause because she lifted up her Bible. Okay. Let's go to Psalms 119, 105. Let's go to Psalms, yeah. 119, 105. Okay. Now I'm just going to read it. I'm sorry if you're not there. Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. Now, Jen did an example a few weeks ago. I don't know if y'all remember, where she started walking through with the light bulb, no, flashlight. And she started going through, and she was demonstrating how the flashlight guided her ways, where it showed her walk, right? Well, that's the same with the Bible. That's the same with the written word. And if we could also go to 2 Peter 1, 20 to 21. Yeah. He says, above all, you must realize that no prophecy in Scripture ever came from prophet's own understanding or from human initiative. So if we stop right there, it just said, just proved us to something. It never came from someone's thoughts, never came from a prophet's thoughts. So we can make sure that it wasn't just anybody writing this. It was a person who heard from God. Because in the next verse it says, no, those prophets were moved by the Holy Spirit and they spoke from God. Okay. So if they heard it from God and then they wrote it down, they're the messengers almost. And I kind of like to think of it like a text message because, I mean, everyone texts, right? I'm pretty sure everybody texts. Like, out of all of you guys, I'm pretty sure. You've sent a text at least. And you know when you send it that they're going to receive it most of the times. But that's one way to speak to someone, right? That's one way to communicate. Well, that's the same way the Lord speaks, is by this. This is a lot of ways for us to hear him. But that's only if you're willing. And it also, he says here, now those prophets were moved by the Holy Spirit. And that leads me to number four. In John 16, 12 through 15, he talks about how the Holy Spirit hears from the Lord, basically. But he can also tell you the future, and he tells you whatever, you know, God's saying. So it's like he's like sitting there and just chilling out. And then God's there, and he's just like, okay, so I have this plan for them, and they're going to be like an awesome firefighter. And, but you can't tell them, but this is what I want them to do. And like the Holy Spirit's like, And then he goes to you and he's just like, okay, look, I'm not supposed to tell you, but you're going to be a firefighter, but only for like, but you got to do this and this and this, or only to go that way. But you're probably thinking, but does it really work that way? Well, it says here in John 16, if you want to read it yourself, he says, he will tell you about the future. And he won't speak on his own, but he will tell you what he has heard. So one awesome way to hear from God is definitely from the Holy Spirit. And if you don't have the Holy Spirit, try to, you know, come and ask the pastors to tell you, you know, okay, I want to speak in tongues, or hey, I want to learn more about the Holy Spirit. Because he is really a good way on how to receive or hear from God's word and hear God's voice and to know what he's trying to say to you. So the last one is ministry. And obviously, this is kind of like ministry. So Proverbs 12:15, if we could turn there. It's my last verse, I promise. Okay, this is pretty straightforward. Fools think their own way is right, but the wise listen to others. So basically, what he says is the smart people listen to what other people say And the fools that are like, oh, I know what I'm doing, are the ones, you know, that's probably going to end up not doing what they said they were going to do. And God speaks that way because maybe you don't know. Maybe you're confused. Maybe you're like, oh, I don't know if that's from God. I don't know if that, I don't know about the Holy Spirit very much. And I mean, I have a Bible, but I don't understand. Then you can ask someone here. You can ask, that's why you came to church, right? To know more about God. So ask someone or ask the pastors or ask one of your fellow youth people. Be like, hey, I don't know what's this about. He says, use ministry, use my people. I surrounded you with people. So that way you can ask them, so that way I can tell you more and speak to you. If you can't hear me, they can, or your pastors can. That's why we're here every day. You know, that's why they're here learning every day, just so that way they can share the word that God's trying to tell you. They're not just here to talk. They're here to talk because they hear from God, and they're like, look, this is what so-and-so needs. This is what so-and-so needs. And if he's trying to talk to you and the pastors are telling you something, and listen, like, he is going to speak through that way. He's not going to expel you just because, you know, you're small or something. He's going to say, look, tell this so-and-so that I'm trying to talk to them, and I'm not going to give up. When we know he speaks or how he speaks, because those are five pretty good ways to know that he speaks, then you kind of, they're like, okay, so I got those five things, but that doesn't mean anything. I'm too small, or I'm not, like, I hear this a lot, that, oh, I'll do that when I'm older, or, oh, I'll get there when I'm much older. Right now, I'm not going to hear from. Okay, I said it was going to be last verse, but it's not. 1 Samuel 3, 1 to 10. Yeah. Okay, so I'm not going to read all of it. But I want to start in verse 6. Okay, he goes, then the Lord called out again, Samuel. Again, Samuel got up and went to Eli. Here I am, did you call me? I didn't call you, my son, Eli said. Go back to bed. Samuel did not yet know the Lord because he had never had a message from the Lord before. So maybe you don't know, and maybe he is speaking to you, but you've never heard him before. And that's the same case with Samuel. He doesn't know the Lord. He didn't know who he was because he's never heard him before. But look what it says in the next verse. So the Lord called a third time, and once more Samuel got up and went to Eli. Here I am, did you call me? Then Eli realized it was the Lord who was calling the boy. So he said to Samuel, go and lie down again, and if someone calls again, say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. So Samuel went back to bed, and the Lord came and called as before, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel replied, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. So maybe you're not sure. You're like, I don't know if I hear him. Then why don't you declare exactly what Eli said? Say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Actually, I want to challenge you. Do that every day. And even if you don't hear him, keep doing it. Keep adding it as a routine. Because every time you confess the word of God, and every time you say more and more, and then you give him time to speak, I promise you, he will talk to you some way, whether it's by the Holy Spirit, whether it's by up here, our fellow people talking to you, whether it's by writing on your wall. Maybe he'll grab a random hand and, you know, write on your wall. Or maybe he'll Facebook you, I don't know. But the thing is, he's speaking to you. Don't you ever say, I'm too young, I'm too old, I can't hear him anymore. Because that's not true. Because the thing is, he never gave up on Samuel. The Lord never stopped calling him, if you didn't notice there. He kept at it and kept at it till finally Samuel heard. And that's the same with you. So, to wrap it up, I actually wanted us to say like a salvation prayer. Because maybe some of y'all don't know Jesus, or maybe you feel far away or something. So if we could repeat what I say, or if you want to bow your heads or not, I don't know, whichever is good for you. Okay, so Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. I ask you to forgive my sins. Thank you for forgiving my sins. And I ask that you take my life and that it is yours. that you are my Lord and Savior, and that I can be a part of your family. In Jesus' name, amen. And now you're his child. That's it. You're done. So now you can hear from him. So now all you do is just try it. You know, that's it. That's all you got to do. Now it's your turn to try. So if you could appoint yourselves to the screen over there. Yes. Oh, I mean, watch the screen. So, yeah.
All right. How many of y'all have seen that movie? All right. So, you know, there's a reoccurring number throughout the entire movie, 614. Remember that. I'm not going to talk about that right now. Just remember that, and we're going to touch on it later. So, you know, the last couple of weeks, a couple weeks ago, we talked about how to hear the voice of God. And, you know, Nadezda just talked a little bit about the different ways that people have heard or have seen, and that you guys might hear what God has to say to you when he's trying to tell you stuff. And I'm going to hit it just a little differently. You know, if you want to get to know somebody, what do you have to do? Well, you talk to them, but what if they're not a talkative person? What do you need to do? You need to spend time with them. You know, and James 4:8, and it also mentions it, Matthew 6:33 is also, it goes along with that. But James 4:8 specifically says, you know, when you draw near to God, he will draw near to you. You know, if I have a best friend and I never talk to them at all, I don't have any desire to talk to them. I don't want to hear what they say. You know, I don't want them to hear what I have to say, but they're trying to talk to me all of the time. Is there any progress that's going to be made in that relationship? No, but there's going to be a lot of frustration. There's going to be a lot of annoyance, and there's going to be probably some anger. And it says right here, if you draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. If I'm just as interested in investing in my best friend as they are in me, then it makes sense that we're going to get really close really fast, right? I mean, because the more you talk about things, the more you talk to God, the more God's going to give you answers about stuff, the more God's going to show you, he's going to reveal to you. But you can't just do all the talking all the time. Because if I was talking to my best friend and I just talked and I didn't give them, you know, anything to say, I just talked and talked and talked, and they'd say, okay, yeah, cool, wait, what about, and I didn't even let them ask questions, then it's not going to work like that. If you're praying, you're asking God for stuff, you're believing for something, or you just want to know more about a situation and you're talking, you're like, God, please show me, God, what am I supposed to do? God, I don't know what to do. Thank you, God, that this situation is taken care of. Thank you that I have everything. You're not even giving him time to say maybe just the few words that you need to hear to solve that situation. And then after you're done blabbing, you go out and you try to fix the situation and you make it worse because you're trying to do it in yourself. That's not going to be very good when all you had to do is get quiet and actually give God the time to talk to you, to tell you what you need to do in that situation. Another thing is identifying his voice, what it looks like, what it sounds like to you personally. You know, Nadezda touched on that a little bit, but let's take it just a little step further. What if you're out one day and you find, Jenny was saying in her offering, you know, her friend found $2. What if you found $2 on the ground? Do you just like, oh, hey, look, $2. Pick it up, put it in your pocket, walk away like it was nothing. You walk away like you knew that you were going to find $2 that day, but you didn't. So even the little things like looking at that and going, there is no other way that could have happened except God. There is, I mean, out of everybody in this area, even in the street that you live on, and out of all the cars, everything that goes through a parking lot, you, out of everybody, walks over and finds money on the grounds. That's not an everyday occurrence. So it's even realizing, and this is even taking a step farther, a step deeper into your relationship with God, when you get to know him more, recognizing these little things that people take for granted every day, or that you may not even see, you don't even notice. You're just going, living your everyday life. Something good happens to you, and you don't stop to think about it. And wait, how did that happen? Like, realistically, what's the likelihood of God not having a part of that? Like, how did that happen? Realizing that God cares about the little things. God cared about $2. I mean, I don't think she would have to work very hard to make $2. I mean, if she like went in her house, she'd probably dig like in her couch and stuff and find $2 and change. I mean, I've done that in my truck before. I'm like, I wonder, you know, I'm cleaning it out and I find like, you know, $1.50, maybe like even up to $5 sometimes, you know, it depends on how long between my cleaning periods. But like, I mean, it wouldn't have been hard for her to do that, but still, God put it there, even though it was little. He cares about the little things. You're walking out, you know, and say like, let's say you go to school and, I'm not saying this is going to happen to anybody. I'm not saying that this is how it is, but just go with it for a second. Okay, so say you go to school and the cafeteria food is horrible that day. I'm talking like mold on most of it, but it's not enough mold to get, you know, the people in trouble. And so they're like, it's all right. Nobody will get sick. And, you know, most of the kids don't even notice it. And like you go through the line and they just run out of that moldy item and they pull out their fresh baked chicken. They pull out their fresh baked chicken right when you get up to the line. Now, most people would just go, I'm lucky. Or most people would say, I planned that. Yep. I knew that they were going to run out right when I got up there. Yep. See, I knew that this was going to happen. But no. Even the little things that God cares about, if you just, okay, here's something for you guys to do. You should do it forever, but on purpose, to get in the habit of it, take a week and go and try to notice things that come up every day. Notice things like, God, was that you? And as long as you don't blab off to him and blah, 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 if you, God, is that you? He'll answer you. You ask him a question, he'll answer you. If you wait and just see how many things you notice and how grateful you become for everything you had, because the more grateful you are for what you have and the better care you take of the things that God's already blessed you with, the more that he can bless you, the more that he can trust you. I mean, what if you went down and picked up $2 and you were ecstatic. You were so happy about that $2. You knew that it was God. You're like, God, was that you that me? Green stuff on the ground? Did you have any part of that? And like, you become thankful for little things. What if you go back, say, you know, a couple weeks later, you're in another parking lot, bam, $20 on the ground. You're like, God, okay, I think I'm making a connection, you know, to talk to me a little bit about this. You go back, what if somebody walks up to you and hands you $50? I mean, some people would say that's totally random, you know, and just, hey, maybe they liked what I was wearing. Hey, maybe they like, you know, wanted to get to know me. But no, like, really think about it. In our society, even if you go to where the economy is, what's the chances of a random person walking up to you and handing you $150 for no reason and just walking away? It's not likely. Noticing that, God, what am I supposed to do with this? I know that was you. Now show me what I'm supposed to do. So I want you guys to take the next week and do that. Just notice the little things. If you think, well, maybe that was just chance, maybe I am just lucky, like I said, ask God. He's there to answer. He wants to talk to you more than you want to talk to him. And the more you want to talk to him, the more that he wants to talk to you. Makes sense, right? So, like, I want you guys to come next week, and I want to hear you guys come up to me. I want you guys to come up to me and tell me stuff that's happened in the next week, stuff that you've heard, stuff that you've seen. I'm excited. Like, you guys are, I mean, I'm doing this too, but you guys are doing this, and I'm excited for you guys to come back and tell me what's going on, because, I mean, that's just going deeper and deeper in your relationship to God, because a relationship isn't a one-sided thing. It never is, it never can be. That's not a relationship. And God wants to have a relationship with you. He has a relationship with you. It's just up to you how far you guys go, how deep you go with it. If you guys will please look at the electronic devices up here.
Well, if you will turn in your Bibles to Jeremiah 29:11, I'm going to go ahead and quote it because, yeah, save you time. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. They're plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." And that is one of my all-time favorite scriptures. Just like Evan, oftentimes we make our own plans and forget to even ask God if they're his. Have you ever done that before? Like, this is what I'm going to do. And then God's like, this is what you're going to do. Being a senior has taught me many things. But here are my top three. First off, time flies. 1 minute you're concerned about if you have enough highlights in your hair. And then it's like you turn around or flip a switch and you're trying to choose between which college on either coast is the one you're supposed to go to. Number two, no matter how much you don't get it or you don't understand it, teachers actually are preparing you for success. That paper you're writing about gorillas is going to help you, believe it or not. Not only are you going to know about gorillas and all the things that there is to know about them, but you're going to be able to write a really awesome research paper when you get to college and when you have people asking you to write essays about yourself. Remember that. And three, last but certainly not least, it's super important for me to ask God what his plans are for me. On a typical day, my family has several places to be. My dad will have to be at the airport. My mom will have an all-day off-property meeting somewhere that I don't know where it is. And I'll have to get my sister to and from school. And I'll also have rehearsals I'll have to go to and just random places that I have to go throughout the day, as well as getting school done. So our family's pretty busy. And my mom and I will usually sit down the night before or the morning of our long, busy day and talk about what our plan is for the day and how to conquer it. She's the most amazing communicator I've ever met in my life, which is great. But the problem with me is I'm not always the best listener. So, yeah. So she will have this great, awesome plan thought through every possible circumstance with traffic and people having layovers with their flights and just all these different things. And I'll listen to it and it'll be great. And I know her plan's awesome. And it's like I walk out the door or out of the room and I completely forget what it was. And so several times during the day, she'll receive text messages from me or calls verifying or making new plans when I should have listened before, if I'd taken the time just to really focus and listen. And sometimes I even think my plans are better than her plans, which is always great. And usually, unfortunately for me, I find out in the most awkward circumstances that her plans were far greater. In Psalm 32:8, it says, "The Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you." God, just like my mom, always has the best plans for me. Although all we have to do is take the time to sit down and listen to what he actually has to say. In Proverbs 3:5, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will direct your path." Trust in God and in his plans, and seek his will. Your plans will always fail. They always will, without a doubt. They're not always going to be the best for you. Things aren't going to happen the way they're supposed to happen. But God's never will. Start by asking the Lord what color shirt you should wear or what music you should listen to that day. I know it may sound silly to you at first, but the more time you take to invest in asking God about the small things, the easier it's going to be when you're asking him about which college you're supposed to go to, or if your knight in shining armor is actually your knight in shining armor and not someone else's. When a musician is training their ear to specific chords or notes, they listen to them over and over and over and over again till one day when they hear a note, they know exactly what it is because they've put the time and practice into studying it. It's the same way with God. When you listen to his voice over and over and over and over again about the little things, understanding the notes a lot easier when you understand or understanding the chord is a lot easier when you know the notes that are in it. So when you're listening to God about the little things, it's far easier to hear him when he's talking about the big decisions in your life. Whether it's college or boyfriend or girlfriend or what your parents are telling you is the best plan for you when they actually know what's the best plan for you. Listening to them and listening to God are always going to be your best bet. And when you listen to him and trust him in the little things and seek his will, the big things are going to be so easy that you're not even going to look back like it was hard. So I want us to say this together. Say, his plans are always good. His plans are perfect. And I listen to his voice as he directs my path. You guys can turn your attention to these screens.
My name is Ingrid Baldwin. I'm a doctor of ornithology, the study of birds for lay people. And I have come to Eagle Mountain in search of a specific bird species. For as long as I can remember, I've loved birds. I've been studying and researching them for years. And through the years, I've also perfected my call. Because I found that this is the most effective way to bring them out of their habitat. So when I came here, I was in search and search and search, went high and low looking for these birds. And there came a point where I had to use my call. And when I used that call, they came out and they circled above me, and I knew I was in the right place. And at the point that they responded to my call, I realized I wasn't just here for a short-term research trip. I was here for long-term. I've answered the call. I'm here to live with the birds and to commune and to become one with them. I hear them calling. I must go.
I can't help but laugh at that one.
But it's perfect because we've been hearing all these things about, you know, the little things will help you in the future. Hearing the little things will help you in the future and understanding everything that he has for you. You know, those $2, Lord, was that you? You know, that'll help you hearing later on. The more you hear the small things, you can hear the bigger things. And we know that because he tells us. Anyway, you got to know the perfect plan of God, but you have to hear the small things before you can hear the big things, like Kylie said. You know, whenever you hear this, when you're asking for the small things, it says in Matthew 7:7-8, it says, keep on asking and you will receive. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be opened unto you. And then it goes, everyone who asks will receive. So if you're asking for the small things, like a little t-shirt, you know, should I wear this black one with an eagle on it or this purple one with a flower on it? Yes, guys, we can wear purple. And he says the purple one. Are you going to grab the black one? Why? Because he told you to. And you know the voice because you've heard the small things over and over again. So you grab the purple one and you wear the purple one. And you never know. That'll affect everything else. But there's a lot we have to do to walk on this perfect plan in the future. You know, if we ask, Lord, what am I supposed to do? And he tells you, you're supposed to be a doctor. You're going to be a doctor. You can't avoid it. But you have to make the choice. It says in Deuteronomy 30:19, today I have given you a choice between life and death. Yes, your plan and God's plan is a choice between life and death. If you choose your path, we all know, we've heard it several times mentioned, your plan is never going to succeed. So you're choosing between life or death. God's plan, your plan. Choose God's. God always has the best things for his children. It says in Psalms 33:11, but the Lord's plans stand forever. His intentions can never be shaken. So if he tells you you're going to be a doctor and you go and try to be a rock star, one way or another, he's going to get you to be a doctor. Even if you're a doctor off stage, he's going to get you to be a doctor. Can't avoid it. It says in 2 Timothy 1:9, for God saved us and called us to live a holy life. He did this not because we deserved it. Can I get an amen? Amen. But because that was the plan from before the beginning of time, to show us his grace through Christ Jesus. And he's made it plan to us by the appearing of Christ Jesus. No, we've heard several times, don't make your own plan. That is very true. It says in Psalms 33:10, the Lord frustrates the plans of the nations. How many of you know every time you make a plan for a party, you stress over it? I mean, you just sit there. This has to go perfect. It has to go perfect. It says that he will thwart their schemes, all of their schemes. In the New King James Version, it says he makes all the devices of the people of no effect. No effect. None at all. That's, you know, because he just said that the Lord frustrates at the plans of the nations. You know, we can replace the nations with us. The Lord frustrates at the plans of us. God's perfect plan, you will enjoy. It says in Psalms 32:8, in the Amplified, I, the Lord, will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Be not like the horse or the mule, which lack understanding, which have their mouths held firm with a bit and bridle, or else they will not come with you. He knows everything he has for you. I want you, if you're taking notes, scripture to go and read is Psalms 139. Many people have callings, but all will contribute to the body of Christ. I have this long passage from 1 Corinthians 12:7-11. But each one is given the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, the evidence, the spiritual illumination of the Spirit for good and profit. To one is given in and through the Holy Spirit the power to speak a message of wisdom, to another the power to express a word of knowledge and understanding according to the same Holy Spirit, to another wonder-working faith by the same Holy Spirit, to another the extraordinary powers of the healing by one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophetic insight, to another the ability to discern, distinguish between the utterance of true spirits and false ones, to another various kinds of unknown tongues, to another the ability to interpret such tongues. All these gifts, achievements, abilities are inspired and brought to pass by one and the same Holy Spirit, who apportions to each person individually exactly as he chooses. Now that's a lot. So there are tons of things that God has for you and tons of different things that he has. You're only going to be one. Only one. So you're going to be a prophet. You're going to be a messenger. You're going to have the ability to speak in tongues. You're going to interpret him. You're going to be a prophet. You're going to interpret his tongues as well. And you're going to speak in tongues. He has it in his head, exactly what he's going to do. It says later that each thing is going to contribute to the body of Christ, and we're all going to fulfill the Great Commission, Mark 16:15. We have to enter the race of life that God has prepared for us. In Hebrews 12:1, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to live to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. Now, sometimes when we're trying to live the life of God, there are things that come in our way. But it says, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, let us strip off every weight that slows us down. No, that could be your old shoes that you don't ever want to get rid of, or your favorite bracelet. Our race will go until we finish. It doesn't finish when we finish. It says in Philippians 3:14, I press on to reach the end or the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. We must finish the race. Some secrets to help you finish is love God. Scripture reference is Matthew 22:36-38. The second secret is love people. Matthew 22:39. And the third secret is obey the word, James 1:22. And if you'll turn your attentions to the screens, we have our next segment for you.
That was a good example. He used sports. I'm not into sports too much, but it's common ground for most people. Somebody once asked me, if I knew the percentage of people that make it into the NFL. I, not knowing much about sports, took a wild guess and said 20%. They replied, 100% of those who want it. If you want something, go and get it, period. Don't let anybody tell you you can't do something, ever. In Habakkuk 2:2-3, it says, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak, and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Okay, that means they're etching it into stone and back in that time. That means they're establishing it in front of their eyes and in front of their, in their hearts. They're making it permanent. God is permanent. God does not change. Is that right? Okay, if God doesn't change, then we know his call, his vision for us won't change. Now with your vision, what do? First, you got to hear from God and get your vision. Then you have to write it down. Make it clear. Write it down to where it's clear and simple to read. And the contemporary English Bible, it says, write it clear enough to be read at a glance. Now, you don't want to overcomplicate it, otherwise you will get confused very, very easily. I have done it myself. And with that, you want to try to get it done through him. How well you train reflects the value of the prize you attain. Now, okay, for this example, let's use a race. If you knew you were going to win a race, would you train at all? How many of you would train? I, myself, probably wouldn't train much at all, if any. In Philippians 3:12-14, it says, not that I have already obtained all this, or I've already made it perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold for me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Okay, in that he uses the word press. Press is to chase down, to pursue like in a foot race. In order for us to rise up to our callings and follow the vision, we can't just keep going and going and going. We need breaks. We need marks. We need checkpoints. I like to use the word target. And that means to look toward your goal, something you watch for, like from Watchtower. Your calling, on the other hand, is your final goal. That's your final point. For this example, let's go back to sports and use a marathon, for instance. Your vision is your whole race. Your whole marathon. Your calling is your final goal, your finish line. But your marks are your checkpoints, your rest stops in between each point. You have to have those rest points. Now, what is a mark? A mark is a short-term goal. The marks will not contest the scriptures that go along with your vision. You may not know where they are or why you are at this mark. My mark is lights here in 1440. I want to be a lighting engineer. That is my calling. That's where I'm going. My mark is doing lights here in 1440 in an SKA. You have to keep at your race. You have to be consistent. And each mark will stretch you. They're placed in a specific place for a specific reason by God. They will stretch you to your furthest limits. So no matter what, you have to give it your all. Stay diligent with it. And each time you hit that mark, it just makes you that much stronger. No matter what, it makes you that much stronger and you're able to go that much further, more and more and more. And you are able to complete your race. Now, overall for your vision, you need to be specific and detailed in when you're writing. You need to believe and have faith in your vision so that you can get to your final goal. You need to start acting out in different places toward your goal, like getting a job or volunteering in something. I'm volunteering in 1440 and in SKA. You need to have courage to step out and do something that may even be strange to you. Stay diligent and keep pressing toward the goal, no matter what it is. Be flexible and be willing to change what you're doing without changing the final product, the final goal. If you ever don't know where you're going or how to get there, Spend your quiet time with God, asking him, seeking him for the answer, and he'll give it to you no matter what. With your vision, keep it rooted in your heart. Keep it before your eyes. Put it somewhere where you will see it constantly and before your eyes. Obey God no matter what, and follow him, follow us, and be careful not to take a thought, listen to a thought of the enemy, because it can be misguided, and he's tricky with that. Now, in closing, with your vision, you need to identify where your identity is, where all this stuff, where all it goes to. You need to identify where your identity is. It's in Jesus. Mine is, and as all of yours is. Who is your king? Jesus. Who has written your vision on your heart? Jesus. Now, whose vision is it? He has the plan for you for a specific reason. He wants you to reach these many people for the specific reason. Everything we do points to Jesus. This is the reason and the purpose for everything. This is our path of purpose. And God has ordained us for this specific reason, for this time and this call for a reason. Now, for me, I've messed up and I've worked hard at it. I've worked and made it way harder than it needs to be. I've tried to make it be like a job where I if I do this, then I get the result. But that's not exactly it. You have to stay diligent with it, but then also you have to trust him and let him work through you and stay diligent with him and seek him for that. Now, speaking of marathons, we have this nice video that's coming up next that I'm sure most of you will love. So if you would please turn your attention to the screens, we have Christy coming up next to speak with you.
I'm Christy. Oh, there it is. And last week, that was really funny, by the way. Jen talked about overcoming obstacles, so that's what we're going to review really quick tonight. Mike Murdoch says that when you discover your assignment, you discover your enemy. So basically what that's saying is there isn't an attack on something unless it's something worth defending, and the enemy is only going to attack you whenever you're a threat. So there's no need to get discouraged whenever you feel like you're facing obstacle after obstacle, because that is just a sign to you that you're a threat to the enemy, and you have something valuable in the kingdom of God. You have a purpose and you have a plan. So God gave you that. And it's your job to walk it out, and that's your path. But Satan is going to try his best to get in the way of that. Satan is always the attacker. It's never God. He's never going to throw things in your way to throw you off. He's never going to put things in your path to test you or anything like that. John 10:10 says, "A thief is only there to steal and kill and destroy, but I came so that they can have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of." So God is always good. He's always for us. He's always rooting for us. And he's always giving us his best. And Satan is always bad. And he's always against us. So we have to make sure that we're always listening to his voice and not getting distracted by Satan's voice. So ways to overcome obstacles. First of all, identify your path. Proverbs 4:25, it says, let's see, it says, "Keep vigilant watch over your heart. That's where life starts. Don't talk out of both sides of your mouth. Avoid careless banter, white lies, and gossip. Keep your eyes straight ahead. Ignore all sideshow distractions. Watch your step, and the road will stretch out smooth before you. Look neither right or left. Leave evil in the dust." So what that's basically talking about is keeping your eye on the road. Stay focused on your path and don't let little distractions sidetrack you. Number two, what you do now affects your future. And some people are so caught up in, I have to live in the moment. I have to do what feels good now because that's going to be what's best for me. But really, whenever you keep your mind on how is this going to affect me tomorrow? How is what I'm doing today going to affect what happens to me tomorrow? So whenever you keep that in mind, it'll be easier for you to stay on the path. Number three, lay aside weight. In that video, Miss Jen and Commander Greg, they started off with all their big baggage and all their big clothes, but then as they were running, they got kind of tired and they had to take it off. In Hebrews, let's see, Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, it says, "Do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blaze the way, all these veterans cheering us on, it means we'd better get on it, strip down, start running, and never quit. No extra spiritual fat, no parasitic sins. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in." So whenever you keep your eyes on God, he's going to give you the directions. He's going to tell you the right way to go, and you're not going to be going the wrong way whenever you keep your eyes on him and you strip away the baggage that the devil tries to put on you. Number four, have a running buddy. And so what that is basically anybody that you can trust, somebody that's going to point out obstacles in your path that maybe you wouldn't see. Galatians 6, 1 through 3, it says, my sticky note in the way. Live creatively, friends. If someone falls into sin, forgivingly restore him, saving your critical comments for yourself. You might be needing forgiveness before the day's out. Stoop down and reach out to those who are oppressed. Share their burdens and so complete Christ's law. So what that's saying is maybe you have a friend who's going through something and it's easy for us to kind of look at them and say, wow, really, you're going through that? It's obvious, the answer is here. But if you humble yourself and you just tell them what God tells you to tell them in love, then they're going to be able to overcome that obstacle, and you're not going to feel stupid the next day whenever you're going through the same thing and they need to help you. Okay, the second to last one, be prepared. Satan is going to distract you. He's going to try to, and things are going to come in your way, and that's something that we can't avoid. But what we can avoid is getting sidetracked by that and letting Satan tell us what to do. And we don't need to get bullied by Satan because we have God on the inside of us, and greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. So, and the last one is stay focused. Keep your eyes on God. He always knows the way, and he's inside of you, and he's willing to tell you where to go. You can't give 100% of your focus to more than one thing. So you might say, oh, well, I'm a multitasker. I can do more than one thing at once. And maybe you can, but are both of the things getting your best? One thing is always going to suffer if you're doing more than one thing at once. Read the Bible. If you're going on a long trip and you don't read the map or bring it with you, then you're not going to get very far before you realize that you don't know where to go. So it's the same way. You have to read your Bible, and then you're going to know where to go and take it with you places. Like, I take my Bible to school sometimes, and maybe it's one of those days where it's just, you know, like, you feel like, I don't know what to do. Everyone is bothering me, blah, 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 blah. If you just take time and read your Bible, just take a quick look at your map, then he'll show you where to go. A distraction is anything away from the path. So you might see, oh, hey, look, there's a patch of berries. Those look nice. If they're off the path, then they're not okay. But if they're on the path, then that's good and it's a blessing. But just make sure that you know the difference between something that's going to take you away from God's plan from your life and something that's just a blessing along the way. Common distractions that Satan uses are he'll blow little things way out of proportion. If he sees that something is like kind of bothering you, then he's going to make it seem like it's a way bigger deal than it actually is. So just be aware of that and keep things in perspective. Look at it how God sees it, which is he's bigger and he can conquer it, so there's no need for us to worry about it. He's going to try to tempt you with stuff. Satan is. He'll throw little things in your path that might look cool for a second, or, well, they won't be on your path, but they'll be off the path, and he'll highlight those to you, and they might look cool for a second, but don't for 1 minute get off the path because it leads to the wrong way. So now we're going to pray. Father God, I thank you for this service, and I thank you for all the things that we've learned these past weeks, and I thank you that you help us to take it with us into our daily lives. God, I thank you that you help us to remember it, and I thank you that you help us to stay on your path and listen to your voice and obey it. In the name of Jesus, amen.
1440 is a ministry of Eagle Mountain Church. For more information, or if you have any questions about what you have heard here, visit 1440.com or email staff@1440.com.